FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
And welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Kerry Lutz, and so much stuff going on in the world. You don't really know what's going on, especially when it comes to the price of gold and silver. If you own it now, then probably the best thing to do is just to ignore what's going on. Unless you're thinking of buying it now, if you don't own any now, then you really need to listen to what person you're about to hear from is going to say. And if you don't own any now, you really need to listen to our webinar that's going to take place on November 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll find the link on the website on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I think it's on the upper left-hand corner of the site. You know this person well. He's been on here numerous times. Craig Hemke, a.k.a. Turd Ferguson. Craig, how are you?
Kerry, doing fine, thank you. It's always good to visit with you.
Hey, and likewise, we can't get enough of you on here. I mean, I'm always on your site, you know that. And, you know, it's just amazing. The past month, you look at what's happened to gold and silver. I mean, I'm never surprised at this point, and I don't think you are either, at the beatdowns that that the metals get. And yet, you know, I'm just thinking, well, when are they going to be through with it? When is enough going to be enough? When are they going to reverse course and just let it alone? You know, Martin Armstrong says there's no systemic manipulation of gold and silver. But let me just make an analogy on gold and silver. You know, they might not manipulate it like long-term, you know, a long-term plan for it. But when Rudy Giuliani became mayor of New York, the way that he cleaned up the streets wasn't by taking all the crack dealers and squeegee guys and just tossing them in jail and throwing away the key. They had a thing called life in jail or life in prison a day at a time. And they just locked these people up every day, every morning, every time they caught them doing something wrong. They just lock them up, and that's what they're doing. They're not necessarily long-term manipulation. They're just manipulating the price of precious metals every day, and they're doing it every day and over the long haul, and it really amounts to the same thing as a systemic manipulation, right?
Well, there's a lot to address there, Kerry. Absolutely. And we can cover a lot of that stuff in 2 weeks when we do your webinar. Folks like Armstrong and others that contend there is no manipulation, I don't even listen to them. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a historical fact. It goes back to the 1940s and 50s. Through the 1960s with something called the London Gold Pool, all of these efforts made by central banks to provide physical metal to keep the peg where it was pegged at $35 an ounce, and the U.S. still had some measure of a gold standard. In January 1975, they invented gold futures so that they no longer had to deliver physical metal, and they could just create paper metal endlessly to try to suppress, manage, manipulate the price of gold. And it's important that they do that, they being the central banks, because gold can't be diluted. It can't be devalued like the yen or the euro or the dollar or any of these other fiat currencies. And rising gold price shows an utter lack of confidence in those fiat currencies. So anybody that tries to claim that they're not manipulated, that the central banks don't have an interest in this, either is naive or they just simply don't know what they're talking about. So this does go on a daily basis. I don't think the central banks are in there every day. Their agents, the bullion banks, whether that's JP Morgan or UBS or some of these other banks, they are the ones that are in there just kind of moving price around into certain target areas where they know that the speculator computers will act and they get their desired result. Just today, and actually over the last couple of days, there have been all sorts of headlines proving this, where independent regulators have come to the conclusion and are enforcing fines upon UBS specifically, but more banks will follow, for their direct manipulations of not only the foreign exchange markets, but the gold market. And so the idea that there are purported analysts out there that claim that there is no manipulation, I think you have to question some of their motives and, I guess, heck, some of their experience, because they simply don't know what they're talking about. As it draws to today, the banks, these bullion banks, do influence the price, but their job has gotten immeasurably easier just even in the last 4 or 5 months. And that there has always been, at least since the great financial crisis of 2008, there has been an obvious link between movements in the Japanese yen and movements in the gold price. It wasn't a clear one-to-one correlation until about June or July of this year. And in the 4 or 5 months since, it has been a pure one-to-one correlation. And so when we talk about gold going down in the present, it has nothing to do with fundamentals. It has nothing to do with global supply, global demand, Chinese demand. It has nothing to do with the charts or support levels or anything like that. Gold has only been going down because the Japanese yen has been going down. No other reason. And it's being driven by high-frequency trading, algorithmically programmed computers that just see weakness in the yen and therefore are programmed to sell gold. Nothing more complicated than that. And at this point, all we have to wait for, if you want to see an uptick, is some strength in the yen. Well, the problem is the yen continues to be devalued by the Bank of Japan. They're monetizing every single yen of their government debt directly. And so gold could very easily go down even further from here if the yen continues to decline. Now, as I kind of ramble on here for a second, Kerry, you mentioned earlier that maybe it'll go back up and maybe one day this manipulation will end. And I do think we are seeing some significant signs of stress of this, because for a paper derivative price, which is what the gold price is, to have any relevance, to have any significance, there have to be physical deliveries of said commodity made at that price level. So far, there have been, but we are seeing, with anecdotal evidence such as what we call the London gold forward rates being more negative than they've been in 15 years, we are seeing obvious stresses in this system to deliver physical metal at these depressed paper prices. What we're all waiting for is that physical paper connection to break, whether it breaks here, whether it breaks $100 lower, whether it breaks $500 lower, I don't know. But that day is coming. Once that finally happens, then we'll know we've reached the extent to which they can manipulate price lower. There. That's all. I'll stop there now.
So the manipulation, though, the point is, it takes place one day at a time, right?
Well, yeah, but it's part of a more grand scheme. I mean, there's no doubt that the central banks and using the tools of the central bank of central banks, the Bank of International Settlements based in Basel, Switzerland, the central banks have a desire, an expressed desire to see the gold price capped, managed. The last thing they want is gold at $5,000 an ounce or $3,000 an ounce, because it reflects a lack of confidence in the currencies. It reflects an expectation of future inflation, which would have a really significant impact on higher interest rates. Because again, who's going to buy a government debt at 2% if inflation is perceived to be 10? So there are all these different reasons why the central banks have a vested interest in keeping the gold price down. It's not the sole focus of their existence. It's not the one thing that they have meetings about every day to talk about, but it's what they want to see have happen. They're not necessarily the ones in there dumping gold futures every day. They leave that up to their agents, the bullion banks, J.P. Morgan, all the too-big-to-fail banks that we know about, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, UBS, HSBC. Those banks, we call them the bullion banks. They're the ones that are responsible for delivering physical metal in these markets. They are the ones that know where the orders are. They are the ones that manage the price on a daily basis to keep it in check.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure. And of course, you know, you just saw today, multi-billion dollar fines levied against the very same banks that are the bullion banks for manipulating the FX. And look, Craig, if there is a free market, fully functioning free market that isn't being manipulated on a day-to-day basis out there, other than used cars, you know, out there on eBay, I'd like to know what it is.
Well, and that's what's such a joke about the system. And it's not just gold, but I'll continue to refer to gold. There are these purported analysts and financial media types, and they go on CNBC and Bloomberg, and they talk about the price of gold being down as if there's a global pool of investors that are actually exchanging physical metal at these prices, and then that's what affects the price. No. There are, by all accounts, and by the government data supplied to us through the CFTC, of course, there are only about 50 or 60 large hedge funds that are actively trading gold futures. Taking the other side of the speculator hedge fund trades are these bullion banks. And that's it. They're not driven by fundamentals. The commodity law set up futures exchanges to give producers and consumers a place where they can hedge their risk with speculators taking the other side. Well, the producers and consumers are completely cut out of this at this point. Yeah. Price is being entirely set by a group of hedge funds that aren't even run by human beings, that are just simply programmed with algorithms to key off of other things. Yeah. It's why the stock market keeps going up. It's why all these markets are all just shadows of what they used to be, because they're all simply run by computer trading paper derivatives. And at one point very soon, like I said, we're finally seeing some real stress. Mm-hmm. At one point very soon, we are going to see physical price disconnect from this kind of make-believe fantasy paper price. For now, they're still connected, clearly. But what we're all anticipating is the day when they disconnect and suddenly the price of gold is truly reflective of a point at which a buyer and a seller meet in equilibrium to exchange their metal. For now, it's where paper derivative contracts meet in equilibrium between a handful of hedge funds and a couple of bank trading desks. It's ridiculous. It's obscene, but it won't continue forever.
Yeah. And when that day comes, care to speculate what's going to happen here?
Well, we don't know what will finally break it apart. It could be gradual. You know, there could be this kind of failure to deliver at a certain price in London when all of a sudden people, whoa, what's going on here? We didn't know what that was. And then all of a sudden, the pricing mechanism that they use to value where these deliveries take place will not be the COMEX paper price. It'll be instead a physical price determined in Shanghai or in Singapore. Where there's actual physical connection, physical deliveries being made. It may happen gradually like that. It may also happen with just kind of a market realization event that there is far less gold available than what everybody thinks. What I'm saying is if suddenly it becomes realized that China and Russia and India and Iran and these other countries that I guess they make up something called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, but you know, they may just be kind of working together to form a new global financial system or a regional financial system for just them that is somehow based on gold, and that all the gold is gone from the West and it's in the East. And if all of a sudden everybody realizes there's not nearly the amount of gold as is pledged almost really hundreds of times over through these derivative contracts, that recognition of the true scarcity of it could cause it to be repriced multiples higher in very short order. So we'll see. It could be a smooth process. It may not be a smooth process. All I know is I'm going to continue buying it at these prices while I can.
And hey, last Friday, November 7th, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, gold shot up $37.50 an ounce. And, you know, eyebrows raised. And yeah. What do you think happened there?
This is just another one of these dots that we may be able to connect in the coming weeks. It's been very odd in that on the COMEX, one of the things that we follow is what we call the open interest, the amount of outstanding futures contracts. Back 4 or 5 years ago, the number of outstanding futures contracts on any one day was somewhere above 600,000, easily above 500,000. Well, as interest in paper metal has declined, and as people have woken up to the fact that it's a rigged casino by these banks, that open interest number has fallen all the way down to 360,000 a couple of months ago, multi-year low. Well, getting back to that move on Friday, all of a sudden Friday, while open interest has been coming back over the last couple of months, it shot higher on Friday, indicative of a bunch of new buyers coming in, new buyers of paper metal. What was then strange, price went back down on Monday, but open interest went up even further, another 10,000, 11,000 contracts. Mm-hmm. And so there's a kind of an interesting dichotomy, an interesting little tug of war that may be beginning there. I don't know. We'll see. We're moving toward the end of November. In about 2 weeks, the active, what we call front month contract for these futures is the December contract. It will expire and move into its delivery process. We'll just have to see. Maybe there will be some entities that are more than usual that might stand for delivery and exacerbate whatever physical shortage there may be. We'll just have to see. But it's that growing, I guess, having price go up and having open interest in the paper futures contracts go up, the way it's gone up, it's just another one of these things. It's making me scratch my head wondering if we're not at some kind of turning point.
Perhaps a disconnect is about to occur.
Maybe.
But we don't know. And, you know, they've literally got the Fed's open checkbook there to keep things going. And like you said, Monday, yeah, they tried to reclaim that 37.50. It looked like they were going to do it. And then at the end of the day, all of a sudden, they started losing ground. And then Tuesday, which is yesterday, November 11th, gold shot up again. And it's really interesting. It was anomalous compared to the way the price of the metal's been moving. And it makes you wonder, Craig, why did they just choose the past month and a half to really slam gold and silver? Anything significant there? Anything you can glean motive-wise?
No, Kerry, I don't. And I would draw back to what we began talking about at the beginning of the show. Since about the middle, end of June, if anybody listening has the ability to pull up a chart, you can go to a place like barchart.com and it has the ability to do this, and it's free, and plot the price of gold with the value of the yen versus the dollar. And plot them on the same chart, and you will see an identical one-to-one correlation. And it's certainly not gold that's driving the yen, right? Mm-hmm. The Forex markets are literally hundreds of times larger than the metals markets in a daily dollar volume. It is the value. Somehow, all of these computers, or a handful of them that are trading in the gold market, they're all linked, and all they... A computer, if I use like kind of a human metaphor, a computer sees the falling yen and then instantly acts to sell gold at the same time. It doesn't make any sense fundamentally, because the yen is going down because here it is, the third most important fiat currency in the world, and it's being amazingly, incredibly devalued. Gold should be far more valuable. Gold should be going up in price when the yen's going down. But that's not how these computers are programmed. And so the yen has completely fallen out of bed, especially in the last 2 weeks, ever since the Bank of Japan announced the expansion of their own QE program, and gold has gone down with it. I don't mean to, I'm not trying to oversimplify this or anything, but that's really what's going on. And the banks are happy to see it happen, because their job is to manage price. They want it to go, the price to go down anyway. And the fact that these speculator hedge funds are selling the crud out of gold or paper gold every time they see a downtick in the yen, that's fine with the banks. It means they don't have to do it, and they don't have to take the risk to eventually cover their shorts. So this latest move, though we could ascribe all kinds of nefarious rationale for it, no, the rationale that for it is just simply because the yen has gone down. It's really no more complicated than that. A lot of people were expecting price to just, once it broke through 1180, to go straight to 1050. It didn't. Why? Because the yen stopped going down last week. So what we need to watch most closely going forward is whether that relationship between gold and the yen breaks. Because again, it has been as one-to-one as anything you can imagine since June. It's starting to fray. You mentioned the rally on Friday. That relationship has frayed and has continued to diverge here through today, Wednesday. If that begins to break, and coupled with what we discussed about the physical stress, the supply to make physical deliveries at these depressed prices that the computers have driven the paper price down, then we'll know maybe we're really onto something here, that we've reached that point where paper and physical are finally disconnecting. So we are, I mean, it's a rather historic and interesting time that we are in right now. possibly seeing that disconnect that we've been waiting for so long. Again, because the computers, which are oddly programmed to just simply sell gold, paper gold, every time they see a drop in the yen, computers have now driven the price down below the level at which gold is readily available to physically settle. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it very interesting right here, right now.
Yeah, it really does. It's fascinating to watch. And yeah, the dollar rally, another fascinating thing to watch because who would have thunk it?
Well, and again, this is the thing that never gets explained on, you know, the people that watch Bloomberg or CNBC. Yeah. The dollar is the value of the dollar. You see the U.S. dollar index go by on the screen. It is simply reflective of its value versus a basket of other similarly worthless paper currencies. About half the dollar index is the euro. Another 10-15% is the yen. You got all these other currencies in there in a basket, and the dollar's measured against it. So when the dollar's going up and they're saying, oh yes, the dollar looks very good here, it's only because the other paper currencies, in this case the yen, are going down. And the dollar's going up because the euro's going down because everybody thinks the ECB is going to start their own quantitative easing program. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of derivative contracts that are based upon these currency relationships. I saw a guy on – I was stunned actually to see him on CNBC yesterday, a guy by the name of Raul Paul, who is a kind of a global investment manager and newsletter writer. And he was saying that if the dollar index, which is currently around 87, 88, he said if it exceeds 90, the whole world starts to break apart because of the interlocking and intertwined derivative contracts based off these currency movements. I would suggest that before we ever get to dollar 90, the Fed will come up with some reason to put the dollar back in the barrel and talk it back down.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see. Because the last thing they want to do is see everything come apart. So, so we'll see.
Good point. So, just a reminder, check out the webinar. It's going to take place November 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Craig will be headlining it. Robert, Ian, and myself will be there as well. And Craig, just tell us how we sign up at your site and how we get in on the action.
Well, the site is TF for Turd Ferguson, tfmetalsreport.com. And there are two components of the site. There's a totally free side where you can come and interact with the tremendous community of people there that are we're all interested in helping each other prepare for what is obviously coming. I mean, they've postponed it. They've been able to paper over stuff for the last 5 years, but this train wreck is still coming right at us. There's also a small subscription side. It's a whopping $10 a month, but behind that subscription paywall, I post podcasts every day that are kind of a summary of all the day's events. And we also post some technical analysis and talk about what we see on a daily basis in gold and silver. And I think people use that to time their physical purchases, you know, to save themselves a few bucks and so at least make it worth the $10 a month.
Hey, and we've always got stories from Craig's site linked on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. As I said, the link to the webinar is prominently displayed in the upper left-hand corner of the site. Make sure you sign up for a free newsletter. Take a look at the site. A lot of stories. I mean, we've got close to 100 different stories a day that our webmaster, Stefan, is carrying. And Craig, we will see you on November 25th. So be well and talk to you then.
Can't wait, Gary.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.